This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. Later, just a little bit later in the hour, we're going to be talking with James Watson about his discovery of the structure of DNA and the last half century of genetics research. But first, scientists have been able to make embryonic stem cells turn into almost every kind of cell in the body: muscle cells, brain cells, liver cells, but never into reproductive cells. Well, all that has changed this week because researchers at the University of Pennsylvania reported in the journal Science that they had succeeded in turning embryonic stem cells into egg cells. And the process turns out to be not quite that difficult and could fundamentally change the ethical debate on stem cell research, because eggs generated from stem cells in a dish replace the need to use naturally grown eggs donated from women or frozen embryos from fertility clinics. Creating egg cells this way could produce a new line of stem cells that don't fall under current federal restrictions. Joining me in this hour now to talk about that is Hans Skoller. He's the senior author of the Science paper and professor of reproductive medicine at the University of Pennsylvania School of Veterinary Medicine in Kendall Square, Pennsylvania. Welcome to the program.
Welcome.
Did I get your name right?
My name is a little bit tough. It's Schuller.
Okay. I want to make sure. Tell us about, Dr. Schuller, how you were able to do something that apparently no one has done before.
That is something that I guess a lot of people had in their cultures. It's just that they couldn't see it. And the reason why they couldn't see it is that the early germ cells, they are pretty much as looking as the other ones are. And so what we had to do is to have a color marker linked to elements which tell us, yes, these are germ cells. And once the color was green, we knew that we are on the right track.
Mm-hmm. And I understand that it was not very difficult for you to create these egg cells from the embryonic stem cells.
That's something that we knew at the very end. At first, we thought it might be very difficult having to develop a growth factor cocktail, but no, it was pretty easy. What we had to do is to take off the embryonic stem cells off their feeder layers, which are nurturing the embryonic stem cells, and then put them onto another dish. However, we had to plate them in a very, very dense way, so they are really tied together. And that was the most important step. And since we had the color marker, we were able to visualize the process as we turned it on, and we saw that that is pretty easy.
Wow. And so does this now give you sort of an unlimited supply?
Definitely. That is something which for the... Let's say when we start with the very early germ cells, that is something which is very, very limited in the embryo. So people were trying to understand the very early stages, but the material that you had is very limited. Of that, we have the most, actually, now. Mm-hmm. And then as we have them in the culture, we can go to later stages and analyze them. And basically, in principle, when things are really worked out in a way that we can get more, even higher efficiencies than we have it now, basically, it should be pretty unlimited.
Hmm. And so this changes the whole school about where to get the embryonic stem cells and where to get the embryos from.
That is pretty much what we think, that by being able to generate these oocytes in the culture, that is something that will enable us to do a couple of new things which were that way not possible. But it's not something that we would suggest to use to generate embryos, regardless if this is something for animals or so, because it depends pretty much on the genetic material that you're using here, and that is the limiting point.
Mm-hmm. And so what can you do now? What are the possibilities now that you can do this?
The possibilities that we have here, we think, is now to basically understand, for example, how Dolly worked. We have a system in hands where we can put in a nucleus into an oocyte. We can play with the system. We can manipulate it and then try to understand the process. I'm a molecular biologist, and I want to understand what's going on. But at the same time, as we're trying to understand these processes, how the genetic clock is set back, we might be able to develop therapies in a way that putting a nucleus into these oocytes, we can then maybe, by replacing the chromosomes of the oocyte, derive embryonic stem cells, which then we have to see if they are good to substitute body function of a mouse. That's what we're doing right now. But we hope that this will then also to human.
Does this then get around the restrictions placed on stem cell research by President Bush?
I hope it will help us to do research in a way that's helping human, and we hope that is in part going around the restrictions. However, what I would not like to see is that the research that we are doing right now is kind of hindering the research of others. We think we have a way to offer that has a potential, but we don't know, of course, if this is the way which will give us an answer and which will be the solution for problems. Mm-hmm. So by providing this, we have something to explore, but we don't want to be at the end the ones who stopped other people doing the work to have the results which are important for humans.
Mm-hmm. Of course, the bonus here being that you might have an unending supply of stem cells for down the road for human research, but you haven't gone to that stage yet, correct?
No, that is something where I'm waiting now to discuss these options to see if there's actually a will and interest to go along these lines, because we understand that even if we think we have a great thing to offer to the society, we don't want to go away where there's not a general consensus and agreement that we should go it. And I think we should go, but I'm now waiting for the feedback.
Who are you waiting for the feedback from?
I think we will have feedback now from politicians. We will have feedback from a couple of groups. I've been talking on these issues with Art Kaplan from the University of Pennsylvania to get advice along these lines. And many people think this is a way around the moral dilemma. But that's something now, since we have published the paper, I'm sure that I'm going to get a lot of more feedback. I'm going to talk to people at NIH and so on.
And the fact that you did not need a male and female to create these egg cells, in other words.
Yeah, I think this has a great potential that we now basically can generate unlimited oocytes. But we have to see if this is something which will lead to a solution.
Could you accomplish what you've done using a sperm cell instead of an egg cell?
That is something we haven't obtained sperm so far in the cultures that we have done, and that is something which is something we're going to try and see, but we don't know yet.
Mm-hmm.
However, what is kind of astonishing is that we were getting eggs from both male and female embryonic stem cell lines. So that is something which first might seem a little bit striking, but if you think about it, the way that sperm is generated requires additional genes to be expressed. And if they are not expressed in a proper way at the right time, basically what happens is that an oocyte will develop, and that's what we saw.
Fascinating. So have you stopped your work waiting for the reaction and before you proceed with other experiments?
We have quite a lot of different things to do, and so I think that actually a couple of other groups will, after seeing these results, start with using the human embryonic stem cells to try out if oocytes can be obtained. But right now, I'm waiting for the discussions to continue, and that's something I think we just have to wait and we have to be a little bit patient in that respect.
Well, Dr. Schroller, thank you for joining us. We're going to be part of that discussion, I hope, in the days and weeks to come. Thanks for coming back and coming on the show. Hopefully we'll have you back and get more into that discussion.
Okay. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
And
bye.
Good luck to you. Hans Schroller is the senior author of the science paper and professor of reproductive medicine at the University of Pennsylvania School of Veterinary Medicine in the Kendall Square.